We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and I'm here with John Clark, a telecommunications professor at the University of Kentucky in Lexington. And John, we just in our conversation about phishing, we ended up bringing up spyware because there's a new kind of phishing that is planning to plant spyware on your computer. And I know you have an interest in this. I do as well. I know quite a bit about spyware these days, and I've talked to my audience about it before. But where do we want to start on this? You want to describe what spyware is?
Well, spyware is surveillance software, essentially, that records what you do on your computer in a variety of ways. Some of the spyware actually takes periodic snapshots of your screen. Some of it records your passwords. Some spyware records every keystroke that you make. Other spyware logs all the websites that you visit.
And other spyware...
Where you went to, where you left to, what pages you accessed while you were there. And, of course, that includes any business that you might be conducting through with your computer, you know, with your bank or your utilities or eBay, for that matter, or anything else you buy.
And some spyware keeps track of how often you go to the bathroom.
Well, some spyware takes over your webcam without your knowledge and uses it to watch what you're doing when you're completely unaware of it.
Well, that's I didn't hear about that one. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, I read an article about that just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I guess.
Interesting. And so, of course, so spyware can take over these things, and then what does it do what does it actually do to the user?
What does it do to the user? Well, it, the funny thing about it is one of the primary uses of spyware is not by people who are somewhere out there looking to exploit your financial information or whatever, but much of it is used by individuals to find out what their other family members are doing, which is a completely different issue, of course.
Yeah, that is.
But the biggest danger in general from criminal elements using spyware is to record your whatever account numbers you enter in business you conduct on the web, and whatever passwords you enter as well. And that's the really valuable information that they're looking for.
Well, now, and all that is true, but also isn't it true that most spyware is not quite that intrusive? That is, it's not capturing that information so much as it's related to things like hijacking your browser and creating pop-up ads when you're surfing the internet. Basically, you think they're coming from the sites you're visiting, but they're coming from inside your own computer. Essentially, the trigger for them.
Well, that's true. That a lot of that goes on, but I regard that as fairly superficial.
Well, it is, except I have to tell you, having been infected a couple of different times, when they hijack your browser, you feel pretty helpless because you can't reset it. You reset your homepage to where you like to go when you first log in, and before you even shut off the computer and start it up again, it has reset it again. Again, this is Internet Explorer. It tends not to infect Netscape.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bear to get rid of, because you go to the add remove programs, and some of these programs that have been added on, they don't take them. You can't. It's got a button for remove, but it doesn't do anything. And
right.
You have to go out to the web and search and figure out how it is you extract these programs from your site.
Well, I read an interesting study just a couple of weeks ago, and what was unusual about this one is that it interviewed about 350 users or so, about their own security practices, their beliefs about spyware, viruses, firewalls, that kind of thing. And then it recorded all the data, and then they had somebody actually visit each of the people who had been interviewed, and they examined their computers to find out what they really had on their computers. And over 80% of them had spyware on their computers that they were completely unaware of. One poor guy had over 1,000 spyware programs running in the background.
I know it. I don't know how it doesn't bring the computer crashing to its knees.
Well, that's what, he's totally mystified by the fact that his computer works at a complete crawl and he can't do anything. It doesn't know why.
No, and that is the other danger, is just that kind of, it just reduces the functionality of the computer. Well, my regular listeners already know this information, but on my website you will find information about what to do about spyware. But basically, there's four programs that we Windows users need. And, John, you're a Mac user, so you may not even know these. But since you know so much about telecom, I'll bet you know the names of some of these.
I read about them, and, of course, I have a number of students who are Windows users. But I'll tell you, quite frankly, on a personal level, it's so far off my radar screen that... No, I can't come up with it.
Well,
right off the top of my head.
And since I have personal experience with spyware and have dealt with it many times on different computers, because I own several, mm-hmm. I'll run through these. So the first and most important is Adaware. These are all free programs, by the way. Adaware 6.0 is the latest incarnation, and it will find all the cookies that are trapping data of any sort, and anything that was handled, done to your registry files, embedded programs and things, and extract almost all of them. Anything it finds, you can safely delete, and that's reassuring. If you pay for it, you also get AdWatch 3.0, which is a constant monitoring program, and I actually pay for my Adaware. It's a small shareware fee, and then I get AdWatch 3.0. The other one that goes with that complements it and that you need occasionally catches things that Adaware does not is Spybot Search and Destroy. That's
right.
Also free. And I consider that secondary but useful. And then the last one is Hijack This. And all of these are you can get free just by typing in the words into a browser, but you can also get the links on my website. And Hijack This, you have to have some knowledge about, or really what they recommend you do is post the files on a website that handles these things. But Hijack This will list all these, anything that's basically in your startup programs and in your registry files that runs automatically. And so it pulls up all these things, many of which you want and you keep. It's when you see suspicious ones that you get rid of them. I know what they are now. When I first saw it, I didn't understand what everything was. So I was cautious about it, but you don't want to delete anything from there that you don't want lost.
Well, you never can tell what you need to delete on a Windows machine, and that's the thing about Microsoft is it's just so difficult to administer. We have in the School of Journalism and Telecommunications here at UK, we're practically completely a Mac shop, and all of our labs are Macs, and all of our audio and video editing suites are Macs, and you really don't even have to think about it. We do have 8 machines in the journalism news lab where they produce the television show that are Dells. I guess I shouldn't use the actual product name.
But well, they're Windows machines.
They're Windows machines because that's the kind of software that they use for the news management end of it. But those 8 machines out of another, let's say 70 or 80 Macs, they take up 99% of the desktop support and administration time that our technology coordinator has to deal with. It's just ridiculous.
That is an amazing statistic.
The level of administration that takes place. And I will say, and I'm not a paid endorser by any means, I will say it's interesting, though, because you brought it up, I'm a Mac user. I don't run any kind of antivirus software. I don't worry about security. I don't do anything. It just does not enter my mind because there's no way anything can happen.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that if Apple had 90% of the market and Microsoft had 10%, that hackers would be focusing on the vulnerabilities in Apple? Or is Apple really that solid and Microsoft that holy? And I guess by holy, I mean not that they made mistakes, although they made some, but they architected the Microsoft's connections to the web to allow hooks and to allow people to access, to sell things, to link, and a variety of things that have made it more vulnerable.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Even if Apple had 90% of the market, it still wouldn't be the same. And there are two reasons for that. One is the way the ports to the network work in Windows. Okay, there are
right.
a variety of ports, and they do different things. Some of them are for local area networks, some for wide area networks, some for specific kinds of network access based on the network protocol. And so that's part of it. Apple simply doesn't work that way. The other thing is, especially in terms of dealing with spyware, is that when you load software on a Windows machine, every time you load software, it changes the code in the system files. It adds lines of code to the system files. And that's not the way it works on a Mac. It doesn't matter what kind of software you load of any kind at all, whether you just download it off the Internet or it's the usual software that you pay for, nothing ever changes a system file on a Mac.
Interesting.
And that is such a fundamental difference that's what makes the Mac a superior machine in my estimation. Again, I am not a paid endorser at all, but if they wanted to offer me some money, I'd take it.
Well, and I have enough headaches with my Windows machines that I can't sit here and defend them and explain to you ways in which they're better, because I'm in agreement with you, and I should probably get at least one Mac so that I've got at least one machine I don't have to be constantly tinkering with. But in any case, we will be back, and I've got another topic related to this that I'd like to chat with you about.
Okay.